That's for the choir. Okay, thank you, Heart of Grace. That was a very nice upbeat song. I think we can try and sing that song along the way. It sounds like Come People of the Risen King, right? And so, Jane, you have another song to sing with. And thank you, Tao Hua and Sian, for sharing. And I think it's good to be able to recognize how our faith truly makes a difference, and in the context of the church, in the context of how the Lord would bring people into our lives through Bethany, and how that is truly impactful in seeing how we can truly grow in terms of our faith. Now, before we take up the Lord's Word, just a reminder, I've written to you concerning what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. So next week, we will be having our combined meeting with the YPG and AM. So it's 4 o'clock here. And so you want to look forward to a good time of fellowship. And, you know, it's not just about us. I think it's good to once in a while that we come together as different fellowship groups and to really celebrate together. And this sense of belonging, the sense of oneness, the sense of unity is something that you really want to have. And I hope that, you know, through the time of fellowship, you will take time to be with the older ones, take time with the younger ones. Don't just be among yourselves. I think we do have enough of fellowship every week to cultivate this sense of bond. And then in 2 weeks' time, we are going on a car rally, what we call YG Go. And I hope that you are ready to go. But, you know, I think next week will be a wonderful opportunity for us to really get to know the others. So I hope that you will spend time with the other group members. And now I'm also hoping that at this anniversary we will have a group picture. So as usual, every year we try and take a group picture. Every year we have new additions, and some of us have left also along the way. So it's always good to update, you know, our church. I mean, our YAG group profile picture and so on and so forth. And so once again, I hope that during the dessert, don't go straight to the dessert. We will meet outside, and then we can take a group picture together. And you know, it just adds to the whole sense of unity of who we are as a young adults group. Okay. All right. Now let's. Now we're going to go on to chapter 13, and the whole book of Hebrews, you know, is really about what it means for us to grow our faith and to mature our faith. And then chapter 12 has been also quite significant and in how we have sought to learn about running the race. Okay, this is the race of faith. It involves enduring on challenges. I mean, you look at the Olympics, you see what some of them, you know, the athletics is on. Do you hear me? Can you hear me? Is it okay? Yeah, the athletics on. So you have the 5,000, you have the 10,000, you have, you know, and all these runners, they are truly, you know, I noticed all of them are really, really skinny, right? And you know, you don't see any fat guy running 5,000 meters or 10,000 meters. And, you know, they are really fit, running the race and to finish it. So I thought there was one race, I think it was there was one of the heats or something, and there was this lady that fell, and then there was another lady that, you know, went to help her, and both of them, you know, decided to help each other to finish the race. I thought that was great. It's not about just winning, it's about finishing. And for us, our race is really about finishing. And we need to endure. That's the example of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, there are times it will be hard because the Lord would have to chastise us. But nonetheless, you know, coming to Mount Zion has been is a wonderful perspective to have. That we can come to the Lord and to enjoy all that we can appreciate the kingdom of God and how we really want to serve Him. Okay, because we come before all-consuming fire, which is our great God. So this is our faith, right? And as much as we learn about our faith, it's crucial for us to look at how faith must ultimately impact our life and our ministry. If not, faith alone cannot function. It's never meant to be something that exists by itself. It must manifest itself. If it's truly genuine faith, it must manifest itself in life, in ministry. It must show. Okay? And James tells us that, let's turn to James chapter 2, verse 17, and it says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So faith by itself is really dead. What James used as an illustration there is the spirit and the body must go together. If the body does not have a spirit, it is dead. Now, it's a very good illustration what James has raised up, because the body cannot exist without the spirit. Right? If you go to a funeral, you see somebody dead, you know, lying there, you know the spirit has gone, it's disappeared, it's gone. There is no more spirit. So the body cannot exist by its own. If it's just the body, then it's dead. It must have the spirit. So in the same way, right, faith must have works. It must manifest itself in life, in ministry, and so on and so forth. Right? You know, you have all this cryogenic, is it? Cryogenic, okay? Cryogenic freezing and so on and so forth. You know, people are thinking, oh, you know what, if I can somehow freeze my body, and then, you know, in future we have, you know, advancement in the genetic or whatever research, and then I can be made alive again. But look, I mean, where is the spirit? You freeze the body, but what about the spirit? You want to freeze the spirit also? You know, so it doesn't work. It doesn't really work at all. And what do people, you know, come up with? But it's so important to recognize that faith must be linked to life, right? And it's so important. To me, there is an inextricable link. Okay? So I'm going to give you three I's. One is that there is an inextricable link between faith and life and ministry. It cannot be separate. It has to be together. So we want to be able to recognize that faith must impact our life, the way we live our life, the way we seek to minister for others. So that's why we have works. Okay? At the same time, when we talk about faith, that there must be that inspiration, okay, to inspiration of faith concerning in relation to our life. That faith, right, all the doctrines, many doctrines that we have learned from chapter 1 to chapter 11, and then there was what we learned in chapter 12. See, all these doctrines must be a basis for our life. And it must inspire our life. So it should be an inspiration. We have many wonderful examples of heroes of faith in chapter 11. And this, you know, should inspire us also. Examples of faith. So faith should inspire us. Faith is the body of doctrine. Faith is what we see in others. Faith is, you know, this understanding that we must have. And it must inspire us to life and ministry. So, you know, so all this while, if we somehow is just learning, and we are not seeking to apply it in the context of our life, then somehow that faith is not quite correct. It's not the way faith is meant to be applied or to exist. Okay? So, one, there is an inextricable link between faith and life. Secondly, there is that inspiration. You must be inspired. You know, you must be inspired to come to Mount Zion. This is coming to the Lord, an all-consuming fire. That we want to be able to say, you know, this is affected the way I worship the Lord. This is the way in which I want to approach God each and every morning when I come to Him. Can you see what I'm trying to drive at? That it must impact your life. Okay? If not, all that we have learned about faith in the book of Hebrews really doesn't amount to very much. You can have knowledge, but knowledge does not translate in application in the context of your life, then it's not much of a faith. This is not the kind of faith that we want to believe and to understand, or we have sought to understand and really appreciate from the book of Hebrews. Okay? Because the faith that the author wrote about in the book of Hebrews must be seen in the context of life. And chapter 13 basically sees how that faith is being applied in life and ministry. Okay? We're going to take the first three verses in Hebrews 13. And I'd like you to, even as we study this, and later on as you go into your discussion group, I'd like you to, you know, sit down and think through how, you know, how these things are being applied in the context of your life, and how these things are, you know, something that is real to you. So for instance, in verse 1, it says, let brotherly love continue. Okay? Now, the third I is really the word imperative. So what you are going to read in this first three verses is a series of imperatives that tells us that this should be challenges that the author is giving to all of us. Right? And it's important for us to recognize this. Right? The first imperative is the word continue. Right? And it says here, let brotherly love continue. So the word continue is where you get the word to abide, meno. To abide is, you know, what the Lord Jesus talked about. Abide in me and I in you. Abide. So let brotherly love abide, or to continue, to remain. It is something that must begin, it must be something that continues, and it must be something that would last. So this is a command, this is the first imperative, and that is, let brotherly love continue. So let love continue. Okay? And so we are looking at this idea of, this is where you get the word Philadelphia, right? Brotherly love. Let this brotherly love remain or continue. And it's, you know, it's a love that truly must be shown. So when Tawa and Sian were sharing just now about how Bethany has impacted them, and the people of Bethany has impacted their lives. Not just by loving, but showing love in a way that is based upon truth. And, you know, it makes such a difference when you experience that love, and that's love that has impacted you, and you are here in Bethany because you have experienced that love. You know, you are so impacted that you will never see yourself leaving Bethany. You will not be able to, see yourself outside the context of the people of Bethany. You know, that's how much you have come to appreciate this love that has been shown in Bethany. And, you know, this is what brotherly love is all about. That there is a sense of love for each other. There is a sense of concern for each other. You know, so our concern is not just within our church context, it is also in the context of our brethren overseas. So just to let you know, Titus got engaged. So finally, our brother, for a while there, we were quite concerned for him because there was no one around to, you know, usually in India, it's matchmaking. Okay, they have matchmaking sites. And so you put your photo there, you put your profile, put your degrees, put whatever it is that you want to put up. And you have to pay, you know, 5,000 rupees a year or something like that. And, you know, so that's how you actually matchmake. And, you know, the parents have to approve. You, of course, can see each other through the photos. And then you discuss. And then finally, and what we appreciated about this lady, they're about the same age, is that she very much wanted to marry a pastor. So, wow, that was great. And, you know, in fact, there was another pastor that was also a suitor. And, you know, if you are in India, it is the ladies that must give the dowry. Okay? And the dowry is, sometimes it can be a house or whatever. So this pastor asked for a house and a car. That's the dowry for the wedding. And so the lady, the parents say, you know, how we can't afford it. You know, it's too much. So for our brother Titus, so pastor asked him, so what are you going to ask? He said, I'm not going to ask for anything. Whoa, this is true love. No, la. No, la, you didn't say that. La. But I'm sure, yeah. And so we're just very glad for him. And, you know, our hearts always been concerned about him because, and what I appreciate about Titus is that he listens and he has followed the wisdom that the pastors have been given him, you know, throughout his studies, throughout his training, no matter how much the parents pressured him, you must get married, you must get married. He said, no, until I get ordained. So he finally got ordained and they say, okay, time for you to get married. But then when time to get married, we couldn't find one for him. So it took him a while. It's been, I think, more than a year or so. But we thank God, finally, you know, she speaks English quite well. And so we're glad. You'll see her next year when they all come for our dedication and camp, family camp. So so he will be married in 2 months' time. So they get engaged for 2 months, and then they get married. So those of you going for marriage counseling, let's just imagine you're 2 months, wow, you're panic stations. Eh? we're just glad for him, you know, our brother finally getting married. And, you know, the pastoral team and some of us will be going over in October for that wedding. And you know, so that sense of concern, the sense of heart for each other must be there. And I hope that you will develop this sense of love, you know, first of all, as a young adult school. I mean, we're all of the same age, you know, same age. And, you know, it's always wonderful that we can come together to bond together. I mean, that's what this YEG Go thing is all about, that, you know, we can sit in a car for 3 hours, cooked up and, you know, nobody else to talk to but each other. No, la, I'm sure you will look forward to a wonderful time to you know, relate and bond to each other. But yet at the same time, it's not just about ourselves, right? Yes, we want to look out for each other. We want to have this sense of brotherly love. But it's also about the other fellowship group. So next Saturday, that's what we're going to do. And I hope that you will sit, not with your own people, you know, our own people, but with others and sit there and talk with them, talk with the young people, talk with the older folks. I mean, let's get to know them a little bit more. And then as a church, we come together in our anniversary, right? And really learning what it means to have this sense of concern for each other. You know, when you, I tell you very honestly, the two significant moments in your life when you really experience this love so much more from Bethany is one will be your wedding, Okay, the kind of support that you will experience. And secondly, when somebody, a loved one, you know, passes on, and when you have a funeral and you see the church coming to show that kind of support. You know, I've experienced both. And I can tell you very honestly, things that we experience here is something that you will not find in other churches. In fact, recently when we were at one of the dinners, and the person was just so surprised. And, you know, Deacon George was there. And Deacon George is our wedding planner. You know, that's his role. We have ushers. We have so many, you know, people who do the decorations and so on and so forth. And, you know, this person was just going on and on. You say, you mean you have wedding planners, you have teams who look after each and every part of the wedding, and say, you know, we don't have that in our church. And she said, you know, I have to arrange everything myself. I have to go and get the ushers, I have to go and get this. And she said, you know, you are really blessed in more ways than one. You know, I'm just so thankful. And it's something that we all want to appreciate, right? To say this is the kind of love that we want to share. Okay, this is something that the Lord commands of us. John 13. Let's turn to John 13. So in John 13, verse 34, we read, okay, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And that, to me, is a, you know, is a wonderful testimony on our part as a church, when we show that kind of love and care and concern. Right? Because this is the Lord's kind of love. So the Lord commands a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another. And this, of course, was demonstrated in Acts 2. Let's turn to Acts 2. And in Acts 2:44, we read about what the church did. Verse 44, it says, now all who believe were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. You know, this is wonderful. And how we want to appreciate this sense of oneness and unity. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So I was just sharing this with somebody last week. And, you know, he was just asking some questions, and I was just explaining every single thing that we do in church is based upon the Word of God. And I'll say, even the fellowship that are having, you know, it's based upon the Word of God. And this is precisely this verse, that they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. I mean, that's kind of love, joy, sense of concern for each other. We look out for each other. This is the commandment, this new commandment being practiced. Okay? And then we come to Hebrews 13:1, and it says, let us, you know, continue. This let brotherly love continue. You know, love is something that should be very much part of our faith, what we believe in. So I just want to say how very thankful I am. Very glad that we gave something significant last Saturday. And I'm glad that you gave it willingly. You gave it out of heart of love. You know, we collected 20,000, that one offering, for the work in Myanmar. And, you know, to me, that's really wonderful. We want to really care for our brethren over in Myanmar. And this week, Pastor was just sharing with us about how, you know, that some of the funds that we've been giving, and we want to give so much more along the way. And it's going to buy two boats, especially for the missionaries there. And then Pastor is saying that we also don't want to just look out for ourselves. we want to be able to minister to others. So we are going to buy another boat, a bigger boat. Okay, this boat can sit about 20 people. And it will be a rescue boat. Whoever needs to be rescued along the way, during the floods and all, this boat will be used. And I thought, wow, that is a good suggestion. And that's what we are going to use the funds for, and to rebuild some of the housing and so on and so forth, and many other things, which is great. And I'm glad that, you know, you have sought to give. This is, you know, very much practicing what we are learning today, that we show brotherly love and that we continue to do this. And let me just say, when we first started out as a young adult school, we never really sought to give the way we did. Oftentimes, it's only about, you know, the offering, and we would give it whenever, you know, and so on and so forth. And until one time, you know, quite a few years back, and Pastor asked me to consider, why don't we learn what it means to give towards the work of mission? And that began our giving towards. And every time when he went, we will give a certain sum. And you know, it's been many years. And each year, the total amount that we give continues to grow and grow and grow. You know, that is the kind of love that we are seeking to share, not only among ourselves, but also to others, that they themselves can be impacted. It makes a difference to that person's life. We have given towards a heart transplant. Is it heart transplant? Heart bypass, not heart transplant. Yeah. A pacemaker. We have given, not heart transplant. Yeah, you know. We thought a guy have a heart, you know. But it's really a pacemaker. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. And, you know, it's really, you know what? Look, we are doing what we can. I'm glad. You know, my heart is full of joy, full of love, to see the way you are seeking to care for each other and to care for others and to give the way you are giving. And really, you know, this is what it means for us to show brotherly love. This is our faith, right? This is something that the Lord has commanded. It is an imperative, and we want to continue to do this. Secondly, the next imperative is do not forget, right, to look out for the strangers. So let's go back to Hebrews 13. And let me try and explain what this is all about. Who are these strangers that is highlighted here? So in verse 2, it says, do not forget to entertain strangers. Right? For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Wow. Interesting. Okay, let's... what's that all about? So the second imperative is we do not want to forget what it means to look out and care for these who are strangers. Now, so this challenge is given. And the word, you know, to entertain strangers, right, is where you get the word. Now, it's made up of two words. First of all, you have the word love, which is the word philo, and where you get the word xenos, okay? And Singapore is known for xenophobia, right? And this is the opposite. So we shouldn't be Singaporean in that sense. We should be the opposite. It's to show this sense of love for the stranger. Okay? And we really want to be able to extend that kindness, that love to strangers. We don't want to ignore them. Now, yet at the same time, when we talk about this idea of stranger, it's not just any stranger, okay? It is to those who are believers. Now, I'd like you to turn with me to 3 John, okay?
Turn me to 3 John, verse 5. Now in 3 John verse 5, we read, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for the strangers." Okay? And the idea here is that you are looking at, now it says here, "Who have borne witness of your love before the church." Can you see this? Right? "And if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth."
So this strangers, really, if we see in a context, is really about believers, but they are strangers to us, and they are being sent out on a mission, and maybe they are passing by, maybe they need some support, and we want to show them our hospitality to them, and to care for them, to show this love. So it is important for us to recognize, and we want to be able to do this. Along the way, we do have people who come into our midst, who need some encouragement, who are passing by. Well, we want to encourage them. Now, this is probably a little bit more, in Myanmar, what they do over there is that they have to travel. And they travel from place to place. And so it's a known thing that if one of your fellow pastors or brethren that comes by, they would stay at your house. And you are, to show that kind of concern and care for them also. But I think it's important for us to learn what it means to care for others. And sometimes along the way, they, unwittingly, they entertain angels. Of course, we are reminded of Abraham, how he had to entertain angels when they came before him. There was Lot. There were two angels that visited him. They were on a mission, right? And so they were also given that special care and concern, so that so that's what we want to do. We want to show care and concern. We want to care for those who, so among our brethren, we want to love one another. At the same time, we have people who come into our midst, and they are strangers, but they are believers. We want to extend that care and concern for them also. I think that's important for us to do. And be a blessing to them. Okay? Any questions concerning this? Right? No. So this, I hope that what you're catching is that this is our faith being translated into our life, in the way we minister, and the way we want to care for each other. And ultimately, we do want to remember those who go through all kinds of suffering. Okay? So, in going back to Hebrews 13, we read this, that remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourself are in the body also. Now, of course, we don't have people, having to end up in prison, and but of course, there will be those who will have to go through persecution. We want to remember them. We want to care for them. So oftentimes when I talk to people and they, they struggle with parents who object to certain things that they hold to as they're part of their faith. Well, we do want to remember them.
And this is something that probably is experienced even more in the context of India, where it's largely a Hindu society. You know, even our churches as a whole, we are facing challenges. Whether we can bring in funds is a problem. In Myanmar, while things are opening up, they also face their own fair share of difficulties. This, you know, especially these third world countries. And they will always face challenges that... So we do want to remember them. We do want to say that, you know, our faith makes a difference to us in how we want to show that care and concern. Look at all the suffering that they are going through. I mean, what are we going through? Not much. Yes, along the way, we do face some challenges. We do face some difficulties, you know, whether it's through our family members, whether it's through our colleagues. Sure. But yet at the same time, we do want to remember, okay? So you have three imperatives, commands, challenges that we want to consider as we begin chapter 13, as instructions, as commands, as you know, very much a manifestation of our faith. These things are things that we really want to consider. Okay, we will go on to all the other later, but we're going to just focus on these three aspects. And it's important. Let's learn what it means to show that love for each other. Okay, so you know when we go for that outing, okay, in a couple 2 weeks, 2 weeks time, right? You know, let's really care for each other. You know, maybe we want to, we go and you know visit. We are going to visit a number of hawker centers, right? Famous ones, and sorry. Oh, one each, lah. Yeah. I mean, different groups will visit different hawker centers and so forth. No, let's really care for each other. You know, maybe we can buy our favorite char kway teow or whatever, or chai tau kway. You know, for Joseph Schooling, it was chai tau kway and Marine Terrace. We are not going there, lah. But you know, just to see the crowd there, just to receive him. And all because he loves the chai tau kway there is, you know, quite amazing. But, of course, they are there to meet. And I think it's good support for him. But, you know, we do want to show that sense of love. I was also quite glad that our table tennis came back and there were some people there at the airport also to let's show that sense of love for them also rather than, you know, instead of... having xenophobia or, you know, is really, to me, I think we need to be different, seriously. We don't want to succumb to what others are doing, society is doing, you know, what we hear or read in the internet and what people are criticizing and judging and so on and so forth. I think it's important for us to show that sense of love. Love for the brother. You know, to show that kind of kindness and heart for others. And to me, this is our faith. And it must be. And it's been always like this in Bethany all these years. So I was very glad that, being able to talk about our church and what is in the past and, to understand where we came from. Right, so Lianya showed the picture of Bethany 2. So that was the beginning of Bethany 2. That picture, when we celebrated our 20th anniversary, that was, you know, many years ago. I was there, and you can see, you know, you're looking at maybe about 300 old people, as in the full church. You're looking at about 300 old people. And to show the next picture next to it and to see we are now at least, you know, you're looking at about 600-700 people. Right? And in fact, more, I think. And when you combine all from when you come together at the anniversary, you're looking at about 1,000 people.
which is great. And, you know, very soon we are going to have the TOP for our sanctuary, the phase one. That will be done in early October, and we are all going to move up to the mezzanine. The mezzanine floor has already been, you know, it's already been constructed, and, you know, we're going to have more people. And even, you know, as the church grows, even more applying this is so crucial. Because along the way, you will see how people can be left out. And we don't want to leave anyone out. And you can be the extension. As much as you have experienced that love, you must show that love. You must apply that love in the context of the church, to those who are coming to our midst, to those who are strangers, to those who would, you know, would come and seek. Same way that Tawa came, right? So we're glad Wei Chen. How do you know Tawa? Soccer, okay, football, right? So, you know, through soccer you came, and we're glad that you found Bethany, right? Aren't you glad? And you found Shuen along the way. Shuen, sorry. No, la, Shuen, okay. Yeah, well, I hope the wedding I won't pronounce wrongly. Shuen, Shuen. Yeah, so you found a lot of things here, found a lot of people. And I think that's important, right? And, you know, that to be able to discover this sense of love, you be the extension of the Lord's love from Bethany. Wherever you are, you are an extension of Bethany. Whether it is at work, whether it is at, you know, at home, whether it is the people that you are with, you are the extension of Bethany. And in Bethany, this is what we stand for. This is the biblical perspective. This is our faith. You must seek to apply this in the context of your life, in the context of your own, you know, circle of friends and so on and so forth. You be the extension of that love, the Lord's love. You care for others, you know, so that when people talk about you, you know, there is that understanding, wow, okay, this is what people at Bethany is like. And, you know, that's something that we want to continue to show concern for. So, you know, every time when we have a funeral, you know, Pastor Rai and I care, I will send out, who sends out the SMS? It is me. It is I who sends out. It is I who send, you know, who, you know, and I can tell you this, sometimes you see, it's very hard, you know, because I have limited number of words to put in. And sometimes you see all the messages all meshed together. It's because I'm trying to squeeze 160 words into one message. A letter, sorry. 160 letters into, including the spacing. And, you know, when you receive such a, how do you respond? It's so important for us to respond. Let's care. Let's show concern. Even though you may not know the person. Right? So recently, our deacon Jacob's father passed away. You know, should we not show concern? Should we not at least be there for each other? And, you know, I think that's important. See. That is what it means to have brotherly love. To show that care and concern. That counts. There's no point saying, yeah, you know, it's good. You know, I agree with you, Pastor Mark. Great, you know. Everybody else can do it. You know, I'm busy. I can't. Then I can tell you this. You have not discovered what this true faith, this genuine love, you know, that we are talking about in the context of what we are learning in Hebrews and what Bethany stands for. So as we look forward to our anniversary next week, as we celebrate together, as we come together, I hope that this, you know, this faith of ours is something that you are seeking to understand even more, to be able to come before God, and yet at the same time, it is in the context of life that this faith must be applied. And I hope that as you go into your groups, you will take time to think this through and to talk about what it means for us to see the link, the inextricable link between faith and life, to be inspired by what this faith
is all about the doctrines they inspire, I mean, the examples that we have learned from, and that you will heed to these three imperatives. It is something that the Lord Jesus commands. This is something that the author of Hebrews commands of us too, or challenges us to follow and to obey. Okay, let's pray together before we go into our course. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you for this faith that you have given to us. Help us to understand what it means for us to apply this faith. As much as we have learned much over this year, it's so crucial for us to take time to see how we can apply in very practical terms this faith, whether it is learning what means to love one another, to show that love to strangers, to care for them, to be concerned for those who are going through suffering and difficulties, to be concerned for our brethren overseas. We thank you for the way in which we are learning to apply these things. But yet, there's so much more that we can do. We pray, Lord, that even as we go into our groups, we will take time to think about how faith can manifest itself in real life so much more. We pray that you will bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's